My journey's a little bit messy because I didn't really start the podcast thinking that it was going to be a part of my business. It was just kind of a fun thing and I was enjoying doing it. But I did start to recognize the potential for it to have benefits professionally as I stuck with it.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Hey, podcasters. It's your host, Adam A. Adams, and today I'm going to be with Johnny Ball. Johnny has been podcasting for a while, and he's already published over 140, 150 episodes. And it's kind of exciting to have him on the show because he's been learning a lot. He runs a company. So his podcast is called Speaking Influence. And his company kind of serves the same podcast, same avatar, I mean. And what I mean by that is basically with his podcast, he helps people to be able to, you know, influence others. And with his company, he basically helps business owners to be able to get their voice out and influence others through a podcast. So they kind of work hand in hand, and we're going to talk a little bit about what he's going through, what he's learned, but there is something that was interesting. You're going to hear his accent. You're going to love it. You might fall in love with him automatically because it's that kind of accent. I almost did. I was about this close, and it would be interesting to find out that he lives in Spain. And so, John, I know it's not a podcast question. It's not your bio. Your bio is already in the show notes, but how long have you been in Spain? Valencia.
I've been in Spain for 10 years, a little over 10 years, and in Valencia for the last five.
Okay. But you're from England, right?
I am. I'm what we call an expat, although really I'm an immigrant. And yeah, I lived most of my life in the UK. At the age of 40, I wanted to make some changes.
Okay. So I've heard of expat, but I'll be vulnerable and honest with you now. I wouldn't be able to define it without looking it up. Do you mind telling us what it stands for or whatever?
Yeah, expatriate. It's just the shortening of expatriate.
And that means specifically that they used to live in Britain.
Yeah, generally we say
move somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it makes English people feel better about themselves calling themselves expats than calling themselves immigrants when we go to other countries. Yeah.
Yeah, immigrant does have, I guess, I never thought of it this way because I've got so many good friends that did immigrate. But I guess in a way, it does sound like low class or something. Just that's how it's coming. So that's interesting. Expat. And is it because you like hate Britain? And so is that why you want to call it an expat? You're like, I used to be, but I'm absolutely not anymore. So I'm
No. Although things are in a bit of a mess in the UK. I don't know if you've seen the news lately. Political structures are crumbling right now and it's not going very well. So I'm happy I'm not there right now. But no, I still love the UK. I still have lots of friends and family there. And when I can, I was just back there last week. I love going back to visit.
Tell us, like, you have this podcast and you're approaching, as we record this, you're approaching publishing like around your 150th episode. And
yeah,
curious, like, what was going through your thought process about starting the podcast? I'm really curious, like, what were people saying to you? What was your goal with it? What did you think would happen? What did you do wrong? I know there's a lot of questions, but basically it's just an overarching kind of like what was happening when you decided that you had to launch a podcast.
I did start a podcast back in 2012, and I think I did about 8 episodes, and I had pretty early on pod fade. But, you know, back in 2012, there weren't that many people listening to podcasts, and I just didn't have the motivation to stick with it. But I kept wanting to come back to it and was getting more into listening to podcasts myself. So in this one, I actually started because I was in my Toastmasters club and it was an option as a project in my Toastmasters club. And I thought, yeah, let's do that. I've been thinking about it. It's been in the back of my mind. And I just did it. I just started. I had no clue what I was doing. So when you say, what did I do wrong? Pretty much everything. I was clueless, absolutely clueless when I started the show. I didn't even know about hosting, didn't know about really sort of microphone quality. I bought my Blue Yeti mic, and which did me for a while anyway. And I just got it started. And initially I thought, oh, this is fun. Maybe I'll do it once a month. And then it started very quickly becoming every 2 weeks and then every week. And I've had a few play arounds with twice a week, but I can't keep that kind of momentum up. But yeah, it's just been something that grew. Wanted to quit a number of times because, you know, growth is hard and you feel like sometimes you feel like you're just shouting into the wind. But I'm happy that I've stuck with it.
I always say if you have a podcast that you don't really have any listeners, it's more of like a journal. That's your little diary. You're the only one who hears it. You're the only one that knows it's there. So I get that feeling. It's kind of hard if you're putting out content, your heart into your content, your efforts. Maybe you're even creating it. Maybe you're looking it up and researching it and you don't have anybody listening. That could be really, really hard. What did you do like in your second podcast? What did you do like differently? How did you learn from some of your mistakes as you've been launching this one? And maybe a couple of takeaways from what you've learned that where you could specifically share with the listener who's about to go through the same place where you're like, I did this, it didn't work because of this. And then I did this instead and it worked. Some type of takeaways that can really help them to not do whatever you did.
Sure. My journey is a little bit messy because I didn't really start the podcast thinking that it was going to be a part of my business. It was just kind of a fun thing and I was enjoying doing it. But I did start to recognize the potential for it to have benefits professionally as I stuck with it. But I feel that I did things a bit the wrong way around in terms of my own business because what I didn't really have, where I'm sort of thinking, if I could go back and sort of talk to myself again, I might have held off on launching the show simply because I didn't really have the infrastructure for foundational stuff for my business in place that I probably really needed to have to be able to have like calls to action and to offer programs and lead magnets and all that. That stuff wasn't there. So it was more of a sort of start it and figure it out along the way. And I think from a professional point, if you're doing a podcast for fun, it doesn't matter so much. But if you're doing it for part of a business and the likes, I realize now you better to have your business taken care of first and then come back and do the podcast when things are actually running, when you've got income coming through. Because it's a lot of work. Podcasting is a lot of work to get it launching and started, which if your business isn't really flourishing right now, you're far better off putting your time into your business. So that was a tough lesson.
Yeah, you know what? I love that quote that you might have held off on launching the show because you didn't really have the infrastructure or the calls to action ready. I think there's a couple of takeaways with growing a podcast. One of them is, you know, ready, aim, fire versus ready, fire, aim. Everybody's telling you don't overthink it, just start.
Yeah.
And like, if you do that, you'll have a podcast, sure, but you won't have anything like ready. In many cases, people launch without knowing even their avatar or even knowing their goal. Stephen Covey says, begin with the end in mind. Like, freaking take a second to know what you want to achieve. Are you trying to gain customers? Are you trying to leave a legacy? Are you trying to have a sponsor? Like, figure that stuff out in the beginning. Go ready, aim, fire, not ready, fire, aim. So I love that. That's a huge takeaway. You might have held off on launching your show to get some of that infrastructure in place. Like, oh, what call to action do I want, for example? And I think that there's another thing that can happen as we're growing. And this has happened to me a couple of times, whereas maybe I had the call to action, maybe I had the lead magnet ready, maybe I had the website up, maybe I thought through some of these things, but here's what I might not have thought through. I might not have thought about like how fast my company could grow. So you might put out the marketing dollars or you might put out the podcast and all of a sudden you have like 1,000 people that want to be your client and now you're overwhelmed because it's growing pains. It's you're like you try to serve your client if they are working for you, but like as you try to serve them, you don't have the capacity or the team, the employees or whatever set up so that you could even serve that amount of people. I've seen a lot of people, car companies, for example, not just in the pandemic, but they promised something. I'll share Tesla's truck was supposed to be out and about like a couple years ago. And we're still like nobody's seen one on the road unless you see Elon Musk's. So just like you got to kind of like anticipate and the need and be ready with those things as well. So I think that's interesting. You might have held off.
Yeah, I feel like I wasn't particularly strategic about it. It was more of an impulsive thing. And various points, I really had to question whether I should keep doing it, not really whether I wanted to, but whether it was the right thing to do. And I just decided I wanted to stick with it there because I was seeing consistent growth. I was seeing benefits coming with it. But I think if I could go back and sort of have a word with myself as I was getting started, I probably would have looked more into strategically being a podcast guest whilst I got my business in place rather than starting my own show, just to get some experience, get interviewing. Because I think one of the things I find really helpful, especially initially for being a guest on other people's shows, was learning better how to talk about what I do professionally. And maybe the first few times I might not have explained myself very well, but you learn from that. You get better, you improve. And like anything, with repetition, we get better at stuff. And the sheer amount of effort that goes into a podcast. So, I mean, I think if I started it another way around and built more stuff up with my business first, I would have had more resources to leverage out some of the work, delegate some of the work of the podcast to other people and just do more of the fun parts of it and not have it take up big chunks of my life.
That couple of good takeaways there. One, not you don't have to wear all the hats, and maybe you shouldn't. I'm trying to remember the first one, but the second one's a really great takeaway. It's like, I think a lot of people start the podcast, they might not even do the podcast at all because they'll say to themselves, well, I'm not techie savvy. I don't know what platform to use. I don't know how to edit. Like, I don't know what those squiggly lines are going to mean, like where to cut, how to cut. I don't want to figure all that out. That's stressful. That's overwhelming. So I'm not going to have a podcast at all. So John, you're saying like, if a good takeaway for us is if you want to do it, cool, do it. If you love to do it, cool. If you can't afford it and that's the only way to do it, cool. But for most people, it's just a couple of dollars. It's just a few bucks. And in many cases, it can like help us stay in our lane. You can be the star of your show. You can figure out the content. You can have do the fun part when you offload everything else.
Absolutely. I mean, I think if you're still in early days of a business or you just maybe switch direction or anything like that, you are far better off being a guest for a while and hopefully driving some traffic to your website. And maybe when you're ready with a show or if you have a book or that, you know, you can start driving people to that too. That's going to prepare you for what's coming up as well and probably be far more useful to you. But I think when you are more established, having a show is fantastic and probably something that most service business owners should think about having because of what it can really do for you. But not if it's going to be taking too much time and energy away from the stuff that actually gets the gears of the business running.
Yeah. You know, I was in junior high many years ago and I played the tuba. I was in band. And my band teacher, not because I played the tuba, that's irrelevant. I just pointed that out because it was bigger than me and I felt awesome. Our band teacher used to give us quotes to memorize. So I don't know. I think it was like practically every month we would have a different quote. So in 8 or 9 months, we would memorize like 8 or 9 quotes totally. We would recite it a couple times a week and in class. And many of those, many of those quotes had something to do with persistence and determination, like not quitting. One in particular, Calvin Coolidge, persistence, determination are omnipotent and they have endless potential. And as I think about something that you said, you were talking about how your first podcast, you went to like 8 episodes, I think you said.
Something like that.
Yeah. And then this other podcast, you had a lot of problems. You had a lot of concern. You had issues. You ran into things. Sometimes you didn't have all the listeners that you want or the traction. And you stuck with it, whereas you're hitting like that 150. Mm. It's reminding me like you just had a job offer from another podcasting company.
Yeah.
Which is full time, which is really, really cool. And I'm almost 100% sure. I'm as close as you can. If you didn't do the 140, 150 episodes, if you weren't doing it now, it might have been harder for you to be connected, to find that person, to be offered that position. But it's like that stick-to-itiveness, like the persistence, and it comes to unlimited possibilities.
Yeah.
And in this case, it's one that you're really happy about. right?
Oh, absolutely. And whilst I sort of think, yeah, sure, I wish things could have been a bit different. When I started my show, I mean, there wasn't anything like the sort of amount of teachers and resources and things like that that there are now for people to get started in podcasting. So it was a bit harder to come by that stuff. Maybe not impossible. And I must admit, I didn't really look for it. But the benefits of having a podcast, the connections that I've made, the conversations that I've got to have, the network expansion more than anything else with amazing people has been undoubtedly the highlight of my professional life. It's transformed me. The conversations I get to have have transformed me. And the network I have is full of incredible people who I never would have got connected with had a podcast. So, you know, I have no regrets. You know, whilst always things could have been a bit different, I can't be upset with the path that I've taken.
Yeah. Who is it that says you are the average of the five people you hang around? Do you remember?
Oh, gosh. I think it was maybe Stephen Covey or someone like that who said that.
Okay. Yeah. If it's not him, it was one someone of the like people that. Like in the same time frame.
Or maybe Carnegie or something like that. Who knows?
Yeah, but, yeah. So in a way, you've loved the networking. You've made connections. They've added to money, business, learning, growth, development, happiness, and joy. But also, just on top of that, it's interesting because when we are not having a podcast, when we decide to not have a podcast, we're blocking ourselves from all of these connections. We're blocking ourselves from learning from these people. We're blocking ourselves from seeing how normal it is to make a certain amount of money or to get a certain amount of success in something.
Yeah.
When I launched my real estate podcast, it was like, dude, I'm new to this. Like, I've been doing real estate for like 12 years at the time, but it was a part-time thing. And I was starting to want to do full-time. And I didn't know all the stuff everybody else knew. So I could pick their brain. I could connect with them. I saw the amount of real estate deals that they were doing. And it gave me a barometer that I'm not in a great place compared to them. And so it's like, well, if that person, they're not really any smarter than me. They're not really any more charismatic than me. Like, why can't I achieve the exact same thing? And so, like, you're the average of the five people you hang around. With you, John, you're interviewing some really cool people. You're having conversations with some cool people. And all of that, I think, helps you to be able to change your barometer of what's normal and what's okay. And it uplifts you as a person. One of the things you said, John, was the benefits of getting on other people's podcasts. You talked about, like, maybe if, I think you even said, if you started over today, you would focus on doing more of that in the beginning.
Just knowing what I know now. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
How do you get on other people's podcasts? Like, what do you pay a service for it? Are you just reaching out? How are you getting on all these shows?
You know, initially I was doing more some very basic stuff, like people had some emails where they were sending out and networking. There was a few Facebook groups that I found. I think there was a very basic site that I joined, which has only ever kind of sent me rubbish connections, to be honest. But then I discovered things, sites like PodMatch, which I think, you know, I still use PodMatch and I still love it. And, you know, I've gotten to know Alex Sanfilippo as well. And he's such a cool guy. And I've used sites like Matchmaker FM, which has been hit and miss, and Podbooker. I don't get a lot from that anymore. But so I know there are some really good services out there. I probably have found a lot of the shows that I've gone on, though, through PodMatch specifically. And also through that, I've been invited to go on particular shows. And people who've come on my show as well have invited me often to go back on theirs. So it's quite often, you know, much like we've done, you know, reciprocal podcast guesting. If it's appropriate, if you're both a fit for each other's shows, that can be fantastic.
Yeah, I love that. You mentioned a couple things. I want to go back to something that you were talking about. I mentioned the Calvin Coolidge and the band and the tuba. Mm. My teacher, Mr. Brimhall, like having us memorize all these different quotes about persistence and determination. Like, you seem like the epitome of that. Like, what I mean by this for the listeners, what I'm really noticing in John is, like, John didn't know how to get on all these other podcasts at the beginning. Like, I think he knew that he wanted to do it. And what most people would do, honestly, you're listening, I might be calling you out. Like, I may be like hurting your feelings right now because most people do this. They say, I want to be on other podcasts. And then they say, but I don't know how. It's like, I want to do that. Ooh, that would help. I just don't know where to start. Start somewhere. What John did is he went to forums. He went to groups. He went to email lists. He went to Podmatch. He went to Podbooker. It's like the 10X rule. Like Grant Cardone wrote this book, and love him or hate him, he's a pompous, arrogant A, I'm sure. I think he really is better in real life than he comes across when I see that. But he's really arrogant. There is something good about what he does that none of us can disagree with. The 10X rule. John's following that exactly. John, have you read that book?
I haven't, actually. Okay. No.
Well, you don't need to because you're already doing it. You're already doing it. So here's the thing. So he talks about, like, you want to achieve greatness. You want to market. Like, do it all over. Try all of the things. Try 10 times as hard. And everybody else is throwing up their hands. Not everybody else, but possibly our listener is throwing up their hands and being like, yeah, well, it's too hard. Can't figure it out. Don't know where to start. I don't have the connections. Then effing make the connections.
Yeah.
Call the people. Do a Google search. Look up. Ask other people in forum. How are you doing this? I think that that's a wonderful takeaway, is that we just need to be more persistent and determined like John is. And that's how you got to 150-ish episodes. And that's how you got on all these other podcasts. Do you pay for Podmatch?
I don't, but I probably am going to, because I was paying for Matchmaker and I've just canceled that because it wasn't really giving me what I needed. So I probably am going to start paying for PubMatch, but I'm going to be speaking at their next event as well. So it might be a good time to start doing it, to start paying for that. That's really, yeah, for me, that's been very beneficial. But I do get a lot of people just approaching me on LinkedIn about being a guest on podcasts and things, or people who've heard the show and want to speak to me as well. So it's nice to have that. It's nice to know that people are aware of what I'm doing and putting out a lot of content. But, you know, when I started the show, I knew that I really enjoyed it. And even early on, probably in my first year of doing the show, even getting through some of those tough times where I nearly quit, I had this feeling that I really wanted to work in podcasting and be full-time. I didn't know if I could ever go full-time with my show, because I sort of saw, you know, didn't seem to be that many avenues to doing that. Now there are, and now there's multiple ways of setting up your show to monetize it. There's multiple ways, so there are more opportunities coming up in podcasting. As just mentioned, I've got a job working with another podcaster now, so most of my life is in and around podcasting now, and I couldn't be happier about it. Couldn't have imagined that being a reality, really. I knew I wanted it a few years ago, but I couldn't have imagined it being a reality. But the sticking with it kind of stuff, I think ultimately that's come from like childhood conditioning. Like when I was a kid, I did music, piano, and I was in an orchestra as well, a brass player in an orchestra. But before all that, I was a piano player. And I actually, it wasn't like my parents wanted me to do it or made me do it or anything like that. I wanted to do it. And when I was 4 years old, got them to buy me a little keyboard because I saw it and I wanted it. And then they bought me a piano, and then I wanted lessons. And you know, I actually ended up learning how to play church organ and all this kind of stuff as well. And you don't get to be good at playing a piece of music without sticking with it and practicing it and getting through all the mistakes and getting to a performance quality level with that, unless you're really willing to put in the time and the energy and stick with it. And that's true of anything. It's certainly true of podcasting as well. You don't get to be a good podcaster without putting in the time, putting in the effort and sticking with it. And these people who perhaps sometimes start a show and think within a couple of weeks they're going to have tens of thousands of downloads and have Spotify crawling after them for some sort of exclusive deal, it is just completely unrealistic. When you think, we know that most overnight successes take years of preparation to get there, and you have to have that stick with itness.
I love that overnight success quote. People are like, oh, they just did this overnight. Like, they've been working on this for so long. You mentioned, you know, persistence, determination, focus, practice, and your piano and your brass playing. A lot of people, I don't remember where the quote comes to, it might be like one of Malcolm Gladwell's books, but it's like the 10,000 hours. It's like anything that it is, podcasting, scuba, piano, business, whatever it is. Like, you really get proficient after putting in the time. Nothing just happens overnight. You know, you don't just become that. You got to practice. You got to put it in. So on your podcast, you've mentioned, you know, stick-to-itiveness, but I'm curious, like, what And you mentioned conditioning from growing up. But if it's not conditioning, if you can't point to the conditioning as why you stuck to it at this time, when you wanted to quit, John, like you mentioned a couple of times that you wanted to quit. And the problem is if you say, oh, it's my conditioning, then the listener is going to say, well, I wasn't conditioned that way. I didn't play the piano. So I'm going to just go ahead and quit. So what I'm asking you for is, what can the listener do? What kept you going besides just that conditioning to keep posting? And now you're up to like 150 episodes.
I think what people can do now that perhaps I wasn't so able to do, certainly my first year of the show, which is when I was having most of those sorts of moments of wanting to stop, is get some support. There is plenty of free support out there. There are plenty of shows like yours that are helping people to learn and understand what to do to actually improve your show, to improve your listenership, to get more people coming into your ecosystem. So utilize those people that are out there. There are more and more podcasts about podcasting now to help you make your production better, to help you understand how to promote on social media, and to help you understand that, you know, the standard stuff that most podcasters doing that isn't really getting them results isn't the only thing that's available. There's other stuff out there and it's worth sticking with it. And I say, if you enjoy having the conversations or you enjoy having your own show, do it because you enjoy it for sure. And know that if you stick with mentality of a growth mindset that you can achieve this, that you just have to keep going, and that it may well take a few years, it's still worth it. That's going to be more valuable to you than anything when you start to see that growth, when you start to see things happening. But you have to get serious about what you're doing to make it bigger. Like if you're doing it because you want growth, you want business to come from it, and you want to see your own development, you have to get a bit more serious about it. But if you're a hobbyist, maybe it's not so important. But if you're enjoying it, stick with it and keep having fun, or take a break and come back to it. Because if your listener figures aren't that important to you, it doesn't matter anyway. Have some time off, give yourself a bit of a creative break, and don't push yourself into burnout for it. I think even without the show growth and things like that, the benefits of having a podcast are still huge, just for the potential of being able to connect with amazing people and learn from them, have amazing conversations and learn from amazing people. It's made me a lot braver. I will approach people who I never would have had the nerve to approach before, but I do it for the sake of the podcast, and it's a great reason to connect.
A couple of things that you mentioned, I definitely want to acknowledge you for and make sure that the listener heard it. One of them is, if it takes years, it's definitely still worth it. If you spend like 3, 4, 5, 6 years into something and it works, it's all worth it. Like it pays back. So that's one thing. And the next one is, even if you don't fill in the blank, if you don't have a lot of listeners, the podcast is still worth it because of the connections. Even if you don't make money through your podcast itself, then it's still worth it because you're learning a lot. It's like there's still a lot of different benefits that come from podcasting. Yeah. Earlier, you mentioned that you started one of your shows, and I think it might be the most recent show, at one episode a month, and you moved it up to a couple of episodes a month, and you moved it up to one a week,
Yeah. And
then you dabbled and tried 2 a week.
Yeah.
I'll mention I dabbled and tried 6 a week. Ooh. It was only for like 3 months of time. And then I went down to 2 a week, which is much easier than 6. I've got friends who do 7 a week and they say it's not a problem. They're used to it. It's fine. Would love to get your thoughts and opinions on what's a sweet spot and why. Like if I'm listening, what should I take away with 1 a month is fine, 2 a month, 1 a week, 2 a week? Well, what do you think?
I think the best consistency is the one that you can stick to. And I have dabbled in daily stuff as well. I did a daily show for a couple of months. I was live streaming already and I doing daily live streams. And I just figured I might as well repurpose it as podcast stuff as well. But it wasn't really for me. I couldn't maintain that kind of schedule. And also, I like having my weekends off. But there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure to come up with material and kind of stuff. Some people are up to it and some people aren't. But for me, the weekly is the sweet spot for me just because it's what I can manage around what I'm already doing. But at the moment, I'm actually taking a bit of a break from the show just to deal with my new job, which I wasn't really expecting. But I know I'm also planning a relaunch and a rebrand. So the show is going to relaunch as, it's going to be called Podfluence, and it's going to be much more about building that influence through podcasting than it has been like primarily before. Was more about public speaking and influence and persuasion. Wanted to really narrow that into the podcasting niche. So
I love it. Podfluence.
Cool. Podfluence.
That's sick. That is. Oh, do you already got the website?
I don't.
And I'll sell it to you for a few thousand.
You're welcome to. I think it's actually up there for a few thousand. So if anyone wants to buy it, I think it's about $3,000 anyway. So that's the reason why I don't have it. But I do have a domain name related to that. I've done a book and stuff like that. So yeah, it's an exciting time for me with the show. I've lost track of what I'm answering.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We've gotten down some rabbit holes. Ultimately, this is where I want to bring us, though. You got to one a week. You mentioned, have a cadence that you can stick to. If you can maintain it, then that's a good cadence. 3 week, whatever. If you can maintain it, it's good. But what I'm curious about is I know you're starting to take a break now that you got this job that you're starting and you're going to be doing the rebrand. So things are a little bit different right today. Mm-hmm. But let's just answer this question. Why not one a month? Why not two a month? Like, is that too few? If the listener is listening, should they think of, I could just do 12 episodes in a whole year and I'll get a lot of traction if that's the most I can do?
I think it's primarily because the shows that I like listening to publish regularly. Some of them publish more than once a week, but I like getting weekly episodes from the shows that I enjoy. And that's the reason why I feel I want to put out weekly episodes for other people. It's like, if you like the show and you're tuning into it, you want to at least be able to check, there's a new episode this week. And so I know some of the shows that I listen to that maybe publish once a month or twice a month, I get a bit impatient, especially if they don't publish when I'm expecting them to. And I'm looking, well, what else can I listen to? I like to listen to podcasts in the morning when I'm doing stuff. You start my professional day until a few hours later in the day. So I have a bit of time in the morning. And so when I'm doing stuff at home, when I'm going to the gym, things like that, I want to listen to podcasts. And so I want those regular episodes out. So I feel that I want to publish at that kind of schedule because that's what I would like. If I was a listener to my own show, that's what I would want from it.
Yeah, I love that. And I was watching this show called Ozarks, paused during the pandemic, and then they came back right after the pandemic, but they only published like half of the season because they wanted to get Oscars or Grammys or whatever those things are. I don't know a lot about them, but they needed it to be a little bit later. So they published half of them and I didn't know that they were going to stop. Just like you know how you said you like podcasts that publish regularly. And if they don't publish when they usually do, then you're like freaking out and you're like, what am I going to do? What am I going to listen to? It's the same thing for me. And so I started watching other things on Netflix besides Ozark. And I started watching other things on there. And then what that ended up doing is taking me off and I got stuck on this other one. And then Ozarks comes back on and I'm like not able to watch it because I'm already stuck on these other ones. So you can kind of lose your listener base if you let them down.
You lose momentum. And momentum is a very powerful force. And that's why I was a bit tentative about taking a hiatus from the show because I haven't done it before. But I think for the sake of the rebrand and the relaunch, I absolutely have to. And it was initially just going to be a few weeks. Now it's probably going to be a bit longer whilst there's other stuff going on. But I feel like I'm going to come back stronger because of it. I've got a bit of time now to work on a bigger marketing plan for the relaunch and things like that, which I think is better than, if you don't mind saying, being a bit half-assed about it and not being all in. I want to do this the right way. And
full ass is the right way to do it.
Yeah.
Full ass. I love that. I do have advice for anyone listening, and maybe this will help you, John. I'm not 100% sure. It won't matter because it'll still be valuable to the listener.
I'm listening.
It's advice for when you're taking those breaks. Like for you, you got this job, you're rebranding, you're excited about it. But also, your listener, when you've been going once a week, they're like, what the hell, man? Where's the episode? And they don't know what's up. I don't know if you're doing this, John. You can let us know after. But the point that I'll try to make is, if you are going to pause, if you're going to rebrand, if you're going to take it down and relaunch, let your listener know. When I was watching Ozark, at least I was able to find it on a forum because they were famous enough. You could Google that. Now, I could say, what happened to Ozark? And then it would say, oh, we're going to publish the rest on a certain date. And I was like, oh, okay, now I know. But I could Google that. You probably can't Google that stuff about the podcast on podcasting. And no offense, you might not be able to Google that stuff about speaking influence.
Almost certainly not.
Yeah.
So that's already in the works. There will be an episode this week, but it's just going to be 5 minutes of me explaining why I'm taking a break. Yeah.
I love it. So that's perfect. So for me, what I recommend is just basically coming in and letting your listener know, hey, I'm really excited about some changes that are happening. That's a great way to start it, is with the positive. I'm really excited about some changes that are happening. I'm rebranding this show for you because you want X, Y, and Z. And I'm going to deliver that to you. Here's what's going to happen. I'm probably going to need to take about a month where you don't hear any episodes. During that month, don't go anywhere. Just hang out on such and such a date. I plan to be live with Podfluence. And so it's just a short episode that says, I still love you. I still know you. I still know what you want. I'm still here to give it to you. You're not going to hear any episodes, but there's a reason. There's a reason why you're not going to be able to hear it. And stay tuned because on such and such a date, it's coming up. So I'm glad you're already doing that, John. That's great. But I don't think that the listener would have done that automatically.
No, not necessarily. Yeah. And it's good advice as well. I like what you're saying about starting with the positive. I'm definitely going to do that. So I appreciate that.
Awesome. Yeah. What's in it for me? That's what your listener cares about, is what about them. They don't care so much about me playing the tuba, but they care about what they're going to get from the episode. So I love that. What's in it for me? And now they're saying, you're taking a break. Why are you taking a break? Hey, it's because I want to deliver for you. I want to be better. I know what you want. I'm going to give it to you. Give me a month to organize it for you.
Good stuff. One thing I will sort of say, so very quickly with that, I don't feel like my download numbers are at such a level where I perhaps need to do all of this, but I feel like I want to for those people who have been regularly tuning into the show. So, you know, I don't think the show is not at such a level where I think I can't rebuild and probably come back much bigger and stronger, which is why, you know, sort of what I'm having to tell myself with all of this is like, I will come back bigger and better after this break. But yeah, so that's the podcaster guilt or the entrepreneurial guilt that we sometimes have for taking time off is real. And we have to soothe our minds sometimes and say, it's all going to be okay. It's all going to be fine.
I don't remember who the guest was right now, but they wanted to rebrand, but they were afraid. They had that guilt that you just mentioned. I've never heard anybody besides the two of you mention it, but we get anxious because we want to be congruent with what we said, and humans have a hard time not being congruent. Like we say we're going to do something, we got to do it, but we get this guilt, like as if we're really going to let anyone down. And the guy before, he had one person, his business coach, ask him, okay, we'll call him Josh. It's the only name I can think of right now. We'll call him Josh. Okay, Josh, that makes sense. And just for the record, can you tell me how many people are going to die if you stop publishing your podcast? And Josh, that's his fake name I just made up for him because I can't remember who it was. And Josh was like, nobody's going to die. He goes, okay, cool. No problem. How many people are going to be seriously hurt and offended, whereas it's going to affect them, maybe their health? Nobody. How many people are going to do this? And he's like, I get the point. Okay. The only person it's really going to affect is our guilt, our own guilt. Yeah. So that's some good stuff. John, I want to take a quick break, but when we get back, all I want to hear from you is your absolute best advice that maybe we haven't talked about yet on this podcast, and share that with a new podcaster so that they can go in a great direction. We'll be right back. Hey, my friend, as you know, this episode is sponsored by my company, growyourshow.com. We want you to be able to have the best tools at your disposal without costing you a whole arm and a leg. So right now you can get a free list of vetted equipment that, like mics, mixers, webcams, sound treatment, editing software, everything that you need. I created the whole PDF with direct purchase links just to save you time and money to help it be more convenient for you. So this free PDF will help you skip all the guesswork. If it's on there. It's vetted and approved by yours truly. And if it's not on there, it's probably not worth the money. So go ahead and get yours at growyourshow.com/PDF. Let's get back into the show. We're back with John Ball. As we're having him on the show, it's called Speaking Influence, but eventually, when you're listening to this, we'll probably have the other one, which is Podfluence. So stay tuned. Just scroll down. You'll probably see the Podfluence link. Definitely check that out. And when you do, because honestly, John does really good with his content. I've been on his show and I was really quite impressed with the questions that he asked, the way that he asks, that he cares about what the listener is going to be getting out of it. And so definitely take a check out of that. And his bio is also down below. John, we've learned lots of really cool things from you today. We talked about Valencia, Spain. We talked and you moving, and we learned what an XPath was. We talked a little bit about you might have held off and built some infrastructure. And it sounds like with your rebrand, you're really doing that. We talked about all of the different benefits of podcasting, like how you can network, how you can make money, how you can build your business, how you can meet people, how you can learn from people, and just all of the personal growth. We discussed many times that persistence and determination is critically important. We talked about the 10X rule and Grant Cardone and how you were able to get on other people's podcasts by doing everything, forums, groups, emails, Podmatch. How we talked about 10,000 hours being important, you know, spending that extra time and attention, the number of episodes, keeping a cadence that's good, but perhaps it sounds like we agree that the minimum is about once a week. That's what most people tend to need. If you are going to take a break to let your people know, John's letting his people know, he's recording a quick 5-minute episode. That's all. Just letting them know this is what's happening. This is the big promise. Got a couple quotes here. If it takes years to grow, it's worth it. If you haven't ever done, if you don't have blank, it's still worth it because there's multiple different benefits. And now it's time for your absolute best advice that you'd pour into somebody who's not quite as far into their journey as you are.
Yeah. Whatever stage you're at, whatever budget level you're at, get the best coaching and help that you can get with the money that you have right now. Because the biggest thing that has accelerated my progress in podcasting and probably in most things in life that I put time myself to is having great teachers, great coaches, the best help that I can get. You know, I was talking about progress with music earlier. That happened because I had great music teachers as well as keeping me accountable, but helping me to develop. I had the same thing when I was doing martial arts. I had great teachers helping me develop and keeping me on track and encouraging me and holding me accountable. In podcasting, it's just the same. If you want to get great at this, learn from people who really know what they're doing. Some of that learning is free. Some of it is going to be paid, but get the best that you can get. Help get commitment and accountability from people who know what they're doing.
That's good stuff. I was trying to get in the best shape of my life this year. And I was trying all my own stuff, working out a lot, eating all these different diets. Nothing really seemed to work. And I had done what you've done. You've hired people like for business, hired them for your podcast. And I always saw success, but I always thought I knew how to become fit on my own. So I had this like outlandish goal of getting a 6-pack. And I got it. I got it on time by my birthday, and I wasn't able to do it on my own. I had to hire somebody, and they basically held my hand in a way, you know, virtually, and told me exactly how to eat, what to eat, when to eat, like how to exercise. And it was much easier than I ever expected just by having that coach. I worked out less and I still got it. So I love that, John. It's like with your podcast, you might be going through motions or trying diets that just don't work. But if you have somebody who's had success in podcasting, then you can listen to them and do just those things and not all of the creative ideas that you have, just all of the random stuff that you could come up with on your own, more of a formula, a proven system, it can really work. That resonates with me a lot because I don't think about it enough. But anything that I've ever had success with, anything, practically anything that I can think of, I've hired somebody to help me with it.
Great.
Track and field, tuba, podcasting, business, my 6-pack, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
That's really, really helpful. Hey guys, go and check out John's podcast. Again, that link is in the show notes. And if and when you listen to it and you love it, because I know you'll love it, he's really good at what he does. just leaving him an honest written rating and written review and let him know you heard about him right here on this show. So go and check that out. Scroll down right now. That link will be updated whenever it's changed. We'll make sure that it's updated so you can go straight to his podcast and check it out. You get a lot of value there, especially if you're an entrepreneur, especially if you want to do more influence. All right. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, John, for all of the nuggets that you left us.
Thanks so much. It's been fun.
By the way, one way to ensure that you don't miss out on great content that we're producing on a regular basis is to make sure you're subscribed to the show. You need to be subscribed or following the Apple Podcast or wherever you listen to it in order not to miss all of that. And before I let you go, I need to mention, because a lot of people are asking, do you help? Can you help me with this? And the answer is yes. My company actually does it. It's called Grow Your Show. And you can find that at growyourshow.com. Our clients, they call us the easy button for podcaster because they simply have to record their episode. And they know that every single thing else is done for them. We sweat the hard stuff so you can be the star of your show. And if you would like help to make sure that we're editing and publishing and promoting and doing your social media, it's all in one place. And I think it's pretty affordable. You'll have to take a look for yourself. Just go to growyourshow.com and check us out. And by the way, I'll see you on the next episode.